This is Nighttime Live on the Mighty 790 KFGL. I'm Bob Harris, along with Scott Sorum. And tonight, a special guest joining us right now. Her name is Kimberly Foss. And Kimberly, I was going to ask you before we started this conversation, but you are the founder of, is the proper name, Imperium Wealth Management?
You got it.
Okay.
Awesome. Yes, it's Imperium Wealth Management.
I had to take a shot at that. Forgive me. But you have a new book out now. It's called Wealthy by Design, a 5-step plan for financial security. And I have to tell you that the first thing that I saw on the cover of your book was two words, Ben Stein, who, of course, is known across the country or across the world for that matter. But it says, Kimberly Foss puts the hay down on the ground where the goats can get it. This is wisdom anyone can follow. Is that a new economic term I missed?
What, hay on the ground?
Yeah.
Well, I think it is now since Ben just coined it, right? And whatever Ben says, it kind of sticks, right?
Absolutely. It just kind of made me giggle there a little bit when I first saw that. I said, wow, that's interesting. Only Ben Stein could come up with something like that. Well, listen,
I actually said the same thing.
You've been in the wealth investment business for quite some time. You started very young. And did you come from a wealthy family?
You know, I did not. I came from pretty much humble upbringings. My mother was an Avon lady and my father was a carpenter, and there were six of us. So needless to say, there weren't a lot of extras in our lifetime. So I think that and watching my parents grow older and struggling with a paycheck to paycheck really inspired me and gave me a passion to kind of, you know, choose a destiny that I wanted and that I was in somewhat control of. And that kind of spurred on to get a college education, and then it basically blossomed into the financial markets. And I just wanted to have a choice, you know? I just wanted to have a choice. My parents never had choices. I wanted to have a choice. And the book is all about giving people choices in life, and it's our foundation of our country in this country, right?
Right.
The
reason I asked that is because I thought your mother gave you some great financial advice when you wanted to buy those pair of jeans. She says, well, if you earn enough money and put half of it away, then you can buy it. I thought that was pretty neat.
Well, she did. Both my parents went through the Great Depression, and so they learned about having things and then having it taken away. So my mother was very, very wise in that she said, you know, that's fine. You go ahead and earn the money, but you take half of it, put it away. The other half, you can go ahead and spend whatever you want to on it.
Your first movement into the investment, I mean, you went for it big time, right? Merrill Lynch, that's where you wanted to go?
Yeah, Merrill Lynch was the epitome of the investment firm at the time that I wanted to. So I kind of tested when I was in college. I went out. I worked for a couple of years with a small brokerage firm up near where I was in college, and then got my feet wet, if you will. And then I tested everything out on all the other, you know, Dean Witter at the time, Penn Weber. And Mother Merrill was really the one that I wanted to. Mother Merrill, in a good way, I want to say. That's not a derogatory term. Was the one I wanted to go to, and so I did, and, you know, it was a very, very good eye-opener and a great foundation to learn about the markets and about the financial markets and the stock market itself, too.
I was almost shocked to read about how you got the job, or I should say the process you had to go through to get the job at Merrill Lynch.
Well, and you know what? Apparently, it's still that same way. 25 years later, it's still somewhat the same. And you do go through these self simulations, and it was an arduous task just to get through to the next level of interviews. So, you know, being 21, 22 at the time, and just fresh out of college and blonde haired, blue eyed, I had a lot of odds against me. But, you know, I was very, very determined to overcome those, and I did eventually succeed and get the job with Merrill Lynch. So I was very, very happy in that regard.
You've had a good, really great client base with this latest company of yours, the Imperium Wealth Management, but yet decided to write a book as well. What was that all about as far as your thoughts about doing that?
Well, I really wanted to take my 30 years of experience and help folks that maybe couldn't afford an advisor or didn't didn't want an advisor, kind of want to do it on their own, and really give them the advice that I've been giving my high net worth clients, something that they could be tangible, and they could actually implement on their own. And so that's where it kind of, that and the crisis of 2008 was the genesis of this book. And so the five steps is really what I take and help my individual clients with. And now people can do that on their own and really kind of create their own wealth by intentional design and have a choice in life.
I don't know how deep you want to get into it, but because I know we want people to buy the book, obviously, but can we go through maybe really briefly what those five steps are?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's absolutely. The first step, I think, is the most important one, and people think, oh, yeah, you do it all the time, but that is, you know, discovering and setting your goals. But there's one step further that I like folks to do, and I do it here in my own office, and that is to write down those goals, meaning that you take pen to paper, and actually, I really take a pen to a paper or a pencil, a crayon, for that matter, for goodness sakes, but whatever you want to do, it's the physical act of writing it down. There's hand to the brain coordination that once you write it down, it kind of becomes, you know, almost your destiny of what you're going to achieve. So if you write it down, their odds are you're going to have a better success ratio. In fact, Harvard did a study on MBAs, and 3% of the MBAs made 10 times more money over their lifetime than the 97% combined. And it wasn't because they're MBAs or they're at Harvard. It was because they wrote down clear, concise goals, and then they executed on those goals. So 90%, you know, that's that right there. You really want to write your goals down first.
All right, very good. And as far as the goals are concerned, you know, I think a lot of people, even though if they've written them down, they still kind of just wait for you to come to them after you made that initial contact, right?
Right. And, you know, we need to write them down. Well, this is if you're doing it on your own. If you start working with me, you have to do it. There's no choice. But, yeah, you're done. Because I want people to be very successful. But if you're doing it on your own, you want to write those down. So if you write the goals down, then what we do is we can type them up into what we call an investment policy statement, which is kind of our roadmap, our GPS, if you will, financially to our destiny. And then once you do that, step number two is really planning your investments. And that's kind of a tricky part for most people. That's really true. We're the engine of the portfolio or the engine of your whole five steps, and that is how much do you put to stocks, how much do you put to bonds, do you put commodities in, what do you do with all that stuff? So sometimes people need an advisor to walk alongside them, and in the book there's plenty of sites that you can go find an advisor, fee-based advisor or fee-only advisor that can help walk alongside you. But if you're going to do it on your own, that's actually, I put models in the book as well so that you can actually model yourself.
And then you got to stay committed to your plan, right?
Well, I think that's a very important part. You do have to commit. Once you've designed all this and you see the markets are, you know, going down, and then people go, oh, I don't want to commit, you know, but you have to. You have to make that initial investment. And then more than likely you're going to dollar cost average. You're going to do something every single month. So, you know, the ups and downs, those were all way out. And actually, in the end, you'll probably end up buying at a low your money at one time, but you got to commit to it. That's the thing, and stay committed.
Now, step four I saw is assessing how well your plan is working. I'm not very good at investments, but I can tell you one thing: this financial world really confuses me sometimes. How could we do that to assess it properly?
Yeah, it's confusing, and really, it's a very uncertain world, isn't it? And it's very challenging. I think even with more information, the edge of technology, that actually is daunting too, because you become very paralyzed with the amount of information out there. So, what you need to do is just kind of take once a year, basically, kind of look back on your plan. So, let's say that you're in your 40s, and the rule of thumb is whatever your age is what you put into the fixed income or the bond market. So if you're in your 40s, let's say you'd be 40% into bonds and 60% into the stock market. So let's just say you did that, and you do it once a year, maybe at tax time, because, you know, everybody has to do their taxes. So once a year you look back, and if the next year you're at 50% bonds and 50% stocks, then you basically readjust that and take the 5% or the other way, let's say it went the other way. You take the 10% of the overage in that allocation and you put it back into the other. So if you're over allocated in stocks, kind of take that 10% away from the stocks and you put it back into the bonds. And you have to do that once a year. So you're kind of assessing how well you do and making sure that you're staying true to what your plan is and your allocation.
And then you finally mentioned on step five, you got to keep that plan flexible, right?
Flexible, because guess what? You know what? 2008, we're going to have another one of those at some point in time of our future. So you got to kind of stay agile and flexible, because as I mentioned in the book, in that area, we were able to kind of, luck favors the prepared, and we were able to create a senior note to help my clients along those lines. But there's opportunities. When crisis, there's opportunities. So you want to keep flexible.
That's one thing I like about you and your philosophy, because you say in the book that some brokers, they get a whole mess of stock that they want, their boss wants them to push. You actually come out the other route, and you want to help the folks, and what they gain, you can also gain as well. I'm not sure if I presented that correctly or not, but...
Yeah, well, it's really actually, in a way, somebody said this to me yesterday, and they go, really, what's good for you, Kim, is really good for the clients. I said, yeah, kind of in a selfish way. What's good for me actually really benefits the clients, but and that's, it's a selfish way, because sometimes it's that... You know, doing nothing is what's best for the client. You know, oftentimes in the brokerage industry, we want to make transactions and you react to what's going on the media, or what I call sometimes investment pornography, right? You react to all this noise and this information that's useless. But they want us to, because that's transactions and that makes money for them, not necessarily for you. So sometimes doing nothing is actually the best course of action in some cases. But I really just want to make sure folks are doing the right things for themselves, because in the end, that benefits everybody. It benefits them. It benefits then your family and your community and so on and so forth.
Before I let you go, by the way, Kimberly Foss, Wealthy by Design, the name of the book, you use the term hopium a few times in your book. Can you explain to the folks what that is?
Yeah, I coined this phrase some time ago, and everybody loves that. And it's basically, you know, it's where we sit back and we foolishly hope that something or someone will take care of us, i.e., you know, oh, I hope to win the lottery so then I'll be able to retire, right? That's what we call foolish hopium. And that paralyzes people from doing and take actionable items to be able to actually take control of their lives. It's important to have hope, because without the proper or true hope, there's no motivation for the present. So I teach people to abandon or break the hopium habit and then instill actionable, reality-based plans so that they'll be able to control their own destiny financially and have a choice when they decide to be financially independent, not be forced because they don't have money to have to work till 75 years old.
By the way, I want to congratulate you on this book as well, because it's something that people are going to understand. It's not that mishmash Wall Street jargon. You really put it right down the line, like Ben Stein says, you throw the grass on the ground. And I think people are going to understand it and get through this extremely well.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. That's very kind of you. And yeah, I just want to be able to, because finance books are kind of boring sometimes, right? So I wanted to make it so it's relatable to everyone. And I think we've achieved that objective. So I'm very, very pleased with that. Plus, it hit the New York Times bestsellers list. So I'm pretty, pretty ecstatic about that as well.
That was my closing line. Congratulations on that.
Oh,
I heard
I'm
that.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. I heard that this morning. I got a note this morning that you made the New York Times bestseller list. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, that was not on my bucket list, but it is number 11 now, and I got to check it off.
Excellent. And they can get the book, I would assume, anywhere, Barnes & Noble, on the internet, anywhere?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon, eBooks, and then also you can go to my website, KimberlyFoss.com, which we're adding educational information all the time there. It's a brand new site, but you can get the book there as well.
Wealthy by Design, Kimberly Foss, thank you so much for joining us here on KFGO. I deeply appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, and anytime, love to come back.